Church.
Morning. Yeah, I just want to speak about the glory of God in someone's life in Amanda. And this woman of God has always been dedicated to our Father. Mm. And she and her husband Gordon have really encouraged me in my Christian faith and walking a little with God. So a few weeks ago, Amanda mentioned she had been diagnosed with a condition called chronic laryngitis. Now, I don't know what that is. I still don't know, and I'm not going to check. I know it's a condition because she gave a note. She told us what she was going to go through, a voice plan, and trying not to speak too much, and she'll do more of the writing, and she would listen more and all that sort of thing. And so when she said it to me, I said, I'm going to be praying for you.
Amen.
And as Mike was saying, there's more to the story.
Amen.
And so I've been praying, and I won't use the word coincidence, because in the Christian walk, it's not coincidence. Nothing happens by coincidence. God has a plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Therefore, someone sent me a link for a Nigerian pastor praising the prophetic and really speaking in tongues. As some of you will know, I've tried to speak in tongues. Pam has walked with me a few times and prayed with me. I don't speak in tongues, not really. I do now. But this guy, I tuned it to him at 5:45 a.m. in the morning, at that time of the morning when you feel like you still want to sleep. And then there was I listening to him, and they were speaking in tongues and praying and prophesying and really loud and all that. I was still sleeping through it. I slept through it, and all of a sudden I heard this word, chronic laryngitis.
Wow.
Chronic laryngitis is reversed in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I jumped up and I said, Amen. What are the chances? What are the chances that I heard about it a few weeks ago, and a few weeks later I was hearing somebody prophesying about. So I claimed it in the name of Jesus. I said, Amanda, you're healed.
Amen.
And later in the day, I was just about to text and I saw a message saying, oh, my GP appointment has been brought forward, and I'm going to test for, through the ENT for cancer and all that. I said, there's no need for that. You know what? Because the Lord has healed you.
Yeah.
I heard through a prophecy from out of the blue. So I won't say it's a coincidence. I say the Lord was sending a message through that. And I want to use this as an opportunity to encourage every one of us and encourage myself as well,
yes.
As well as for us to pray for Amanda. And by His stripes, we are healed. By His stripes, she is healed.
Amen.
And nothing at all will come near her.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what the details of chronic laryngitis is about, because I know it's not of her. She's not going to take it. And we're going to pray as a church, come together, and pray as a church and believe, because the Lord has healed her. Thank you for listening.
Amen.
And I have a word for you, Amanda. Just came to mind. Isaiah 50 verse 4. I don't know. I'm not sure of the words exactly. But it says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. Can someone read it out or bring it out on the... I don't know if Amanda will be able to say something, but I encourage you guys, come forward and we'll pray for Amanda just after we've read it. Can you read it?
The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed.
Amen.
I don't know how to translate it, but that's the word that came to me.
That's me, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Can we come together as a church and pray for Amanda? There's nothing like chronic laryngitis does not exist.
And let it be reversed.
It has been reversed in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
My bloods are completely clear. I'm very healthy, really, but I can't eat properly. I can't swallow properly. As you hear, I can't talk properly. And so I want to be the person who carries the word of the Lord and brings it into people's lives so that He is glorified. they are released and they know that he is real, that his way is perfect, that his word is truth, and he is a shield to all who trust in him.
Amen.
I thank you, Amanda's your child, Lord, and you're saying to me, restoration, complete restoration in her whole body, in Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Father, we just thank you for Amanda, Lord. I thank you for the blessing that she's been to me over this last year, Lord. She's been so faithful in praying for me and blessing me and visiting me and being a true friend. And Lord, I just want, my heart's desire is for you to just bless her mightily right now, Lord. That you will just come, even right now, and pour your spirit out on her, Lord. Lord, we've just taken communion. By your stripes, we are healed, Lord. Amanda is healed in Jesus' name. Lord, your blood was shed. Lord, you covered everything. And so we declare healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Lord, your word is proven to be true. And Lord, I thank you that Amanda does trust in you.
Amen.
And you are going to fulfill your promises to her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this attack of the devil, an attack that would silence Amanda's voice for you. Lord, you see her heart, and we thank you for her passion and desire to see people saved, and a passion to bring your words to people for blessing, and the enemy doesn't like it. So Lord, we stand as a whole church against the enemy's attacks on Amanda, and we claim your complete healing. Your complete healing for her throat, her voice, that you will restore her voice to her, that all these symptoms will go. We claim your healing for her. We thank you, Lord, for your power to heal. And we believe, Lord, that you are healing Amanda completely, and that this appointment she has will just confirm that she is totally healed and be a real witness for your grace and your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was just thinking then that every time Jesus said, go show yourself to a priest, after he prayed, he said, go confirm your healing. So there's no fear in going to see the doctor, Amanda. I pray for your ears too, because we have two ears and one mouth. And I pray for a new hearing for you, for the word of God, that you will hear and speak. So, Father God, we ask your blessing. We bless Amanda in Jesus' name, with all that you've blessed us with in the heavenly realms, all that you've achieved, Lord. You've forgiven us and healed us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for Amanda, Father, for all that she is. For all that she's done and all that you will do through her in the future. Amen.
Oh, bless the Lord, Amanda, and all that is within you, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, Amanda, O your soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities and he heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction, and he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he satisfies your mouth with good things, and your youth will be renewed like the eagles.
Father, I thank you that we're standing together here with Amanda. And we're standing together because we declare that we believe the word of God. And the word of God that says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And you know, Amanda, that his word sent forth achieves what it's sent to do. So we just pray, as Rick did, a new release of life. How dare Satan come and attack one of God's precious children? The word is strong in you. And just like with Jeremiah, where the Lord touched him and the word was in his heart, it's in your heart, you've been touched. But I pray now today that that word in your heart will be a fire in your heart, that you have to release it and you have a voice to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you that you said that where two gather together and they agree in your name, it shall be done. And today we've agreed together for Amanda's total healing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And your word says that we shall declare a thing and you shall bring it to pass. And we declare her total healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, dear Jesus, for a wonderful man, the Lord. She's such an amazing woman of God. And just, yeah, bless her right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you for everything she's done for lots of people in the church and myself, and encouraging and bringing your word to people to help them and heal them and encourage them. And I just pray you will just bless her as much as possible right now, Lord God. Put your healing hands on her body, Lord Jesus. Fire of God on her, Lord Jesus. Complete healing, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Amanda's complete in you. Just bless the Lord. She's your beautiful daughter, Lord. Just bless the Lord. Complete healing. And help us as a church just keep continuously praying for her and remember her, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Boma, I just hear the Lord saying that you have entered into a new day today. And he wants to increase what's been in your heart. And he would just call you into the secret place just so you can be loved upon, hear him, and release it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Does anybody have an interpretation for Frank's tongue?
Amanda. Does not faith come by the word? And is my word not true? And as my word has gone forth, know that this day I am with you. I will not forsake you. I am your strength. I am your rock. Do not fear what man has to say. Do not fear what people may say. Only believe what my word says.
Amen. Father, we thank you for Amanda, and we just pray that this is a season that you've taken her in, and that something amazing is going to come out of it. So, Father, we lift her up and we bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Although we don't have the streaming at the moment, Amanda, we are recording it, so all those words will be available in an audio file for you. Could I have two people to take up the offering, please? And Stuart. Father, we thank you for Stu this morning and his heart for you, Lord, and his passion for you. And Father, I pray that we're all open to just getting a little touch of that this morning from you. I pray that everything that's been going on in the last 24 hours is just clear from him, and he's just hearing directly from you as he shares this word, Lord. We pray for boldness, we pray for strength, and we pray for fire in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I wonder if actual fire fell down, we might stop praying for it. No? Such a funny thing, isn't it? Burn us, Lord. Anyway, in response to Bert's prayer, the first part is from the Lord because it's his word. So I'm going to start reading in Acts 3. All right, so if you've got your Bible, we're in Acts 3. Here we go. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk or rise up." Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them, him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." Wow. Now that is a cool story. Cool piece of history right there. And I'm sure you all know it. You've probably all read it many times, and you probably all love it like me. And you know, this story inspires and challenges simultaneously. Inspires because it gives us a window of what's possible. And albeit normal for a disciple of Christ. And challenges because I'm yet to give a gift to someone like Peter did that day. I'm yet to see that in my life. And that challenges me in a good way. We know that Peter and John, disciples of Jesus, handpicked by God to literally, they literally turned the world upside down, didn't they? And the previous chapters up to, well, just the previous two chapters, quite a lot happens in Acts. Acts is a pretty cool book to read. You know, we have Jesus, they witness Jesus going up to heaven. The previous 40 days before that event, they were hanging out with the resurrected Jesus. That's pretty cool. What did Jesus talk about? His kingdom. Amen. So what he talked about? His kingdom. My kingdom has come. My kingdom is here. The resurrected Jesus. Then Jesus promised them power through his Holy Spirit. That happened. The power would come upon them. Then they waited for this power. Amen. Then the day of Pentecost came. It's a pretty cool day. I mean, these disciples are having a pretty awesome time. Tongues of fire, like we love to pray for. It says tongues of fire fell upon them. Wow. And, you know, Jesus didn't only promise them power. He told them why they would have power, to be his witness, to give testimony of what they had seen and heard of who he is to the ends of the world. And that is why we have power, isn't it? That That is why the Holy Spirit fills us with power. That is why the Holy Spirit comes upon us, that we are to bear testimony to him. I need to make this bigger. They devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer, sharing life together, literally serving each other in community. That is beautiful. This was their life. This was their everyday, an incredible time in church history, a time that we will read about and long for if life could only be like this. You know, the modern way is that we all live in our own houses and our own castles and we're all quite isolated. That seems to be the modern way of living. I don't think it's God's plan for us. But this was their life. This was their everyday. And then they come across this man on the way to church. They're going about their normal day. They're walking to the temple to pray. And who do they encounter? This beggar who was going about his normal day, as far as we know. He'd been crippled from birth. He was being carried to the gate called Beautiful at the entrance to the temple, where he would sit and beg. This man probably has no future. He has no hope. He has no prospects. It's probably all he's known. He also probably has no idea who John and Peter are. Because if he had known who they were, he wouldn't have asked them for money, would he? And interestingly, he asked them for the one thing they can't give him. Because they don't have it. And this is a really key point. We cannot give what we do not have. It's not possible. Even the disciples who just hung out with Jesus for 3 years were unable to do this. But what did they have? And this is what I want to get to. Silver and gold. I do not have what you want or what you think you want or what you think you need. I don't have it. But I know what I do have. And what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He didn't just say it. He then followed it up by picking him up, pulling him up, and literally watching his legs and his feet transform in front of his very eyes. A man who had never used his feet and his legs. He'd been crippled since birth, the Bible says. Instantly healed. Boom. Instantly. Incredible. I love it. What just happened? Amen. What just happened? What are we reading? What just happened? This guy didn't have any faith. He didn't even know Jesus. He didn't know who they were. What just happened? Incredible. They didn't pray. They didn't gather around him. He just spoke. I'm carrying this. Amen. And I'm going to share it with you. Here you go. Have your life transformed. Amen. What just happened, church? He was given direct access to the King of Kings, his kingdom and his power, direct access. Meet Jesus. Amen. Meet the King. That's what happened. Peter knew what he carried. He knew what he could give away. And he knew what he couldn't. And as I read, he explains to an astonished crowd later that it is by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. His name, the faith that comes through him, it was by that faith that this man was made whole. Peter had faith. So, a sensible question, what is faith? Well, could spend a long time answering that one, but I'm going to go to Hebrews 11, shock, I know, which we will all know is kind of the faith chapter. Now, faith is confidence or certainty or reality or substance in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Amen. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. We have no idea how the universe was formed. Let's be honest about it. Only that God commanded it. All we know about the earth is, according to scripture, it's about 6,000 years old, if you take it literally. It was made in 7 days because God commanded it. And it takes faith to believe that, but there's also a reality that we see, isn't there? There's a substance, there's a tangible evidence. Hence the fact that we live on this planet Earth, and the more scientific you get about it, the more it points to a designer. And you actually need more faith to believe that there isn't one. It's quite absurd, really, that anyone could really believe this Earth wasn't designed. It's crazy. Anyway, so my point is that there is evidence of that faith. Faith is not dependent on our ability to understand, therefore. It's choosing to trust God, trust that he is faithful. He is who he says he is. He does what he says he does. Faith is having confidence that God will fulfill his promise to you. It's personal, it's relational, it's intimate. And it's more than just an intellectual experience or agreement. And again, to use a well-known illustration, anyone been to Niagara Falls? Yes. Breathtaking, isn't it? Stunning. Incredible. Well, you're at Niagara Falls, impressive, just the roar of the water, breathtaking, and there's some crazy guy walking the tightrope right across Niagara Falls. He does it 3-4 times. Now, intellectually, he does it with a wheelbarrow. Let's up the ante, okay? He's pushing this wheelbarrow across, fantastic. Intellectually, as I am watching this man, I've got faith that I'd be all right if I was in that wheelbarrow. I'd be all right. I've seen him do it 3 or 4 times. I believe that he could do that with me in that wheelbarrow. However, biblical faith is getting in the wheelbarrow, not believing if you were in it. Do you see what I mean? It's the physical act of putting your trust in that man. Amen. That's biblical faith. And actually exercising that you entrust yourself to that tightrope walker. That's very, very different. I probably wouldn't do that, if I'm honest. I want to be the father to my 2 kids, and if we have more, I want to be the father to them as well, you know? Anyway, genuine biblical faith expresses itself in everyday life. James writes, doesn't he? Faith by itself, apart from works, is dead. Faith works through love to produce tangible evidence of its existence in a person's life, as in Galatians. Put another way, the obedience that pleases God comes from faith, as in Romans, rather than a mere sense of duty or obligation. And just make, you know, there's a world of difference between a husband who buys his wife flowers out of delight and someone who buys his wife flowers out of duty. Same event, two totally different experiences. And then the passion says, now faith brings our hopes into reality, which becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. I love that. Now, just backing up on Hebrews a little bit, we don't know for sure. I think the author of Hebrews is probably Paul, because it sounds like Paul. But the author of Hebrews lays out before chapter 11, you know, he's talking about why this covenant in Jesus is far superior and how Jesus is far superior than the old covenant, than the sacrificial you know, animals and everything, how Jesus sacrifices once and for all, and he lays this out, and how we must have faith in what Jesus has done for us. He shares about the heroes of faith, to name a few, Abraham and Moses, who lived according to this faith, that trusts God, that trusts his character, that trusts his nature. Why did they live that way? Because they saw God's nature. They saw God's character. And they knew that he would fulfill his promise. Because faith isn't wishful thinking. You know, it's not this gullible, oh, you know. No, that's not faith. They had full confidence based on their own experience of God in their lives, which was a building block for them to walk and grow in faith, which produces obedience, gives them eternal perspective. Some of the promises weren't realized in their lifetime, but they had an eternal perspective because they knew Christ. They had the mind of Christ. Just because we can't see now doesn't mean that doesn't mean that God isn't doing it. Just because we can't physically see it doesn't mean it's not happening. So, here is Peter standing in front of this beggar. What does Peter have? What does he have? Come on, guys. What does he have? Faith. What is faith? What does he have? What does he have to give? There's a guy here that has no hope. He has no future. He's asking for something that's not going to help him. But it's not going to get him out of his situation. Begging. And here's Peter. What does he have? He has confidence based on what he's experienced of the nature and the character of God. Amen? He has a revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished. He's seen it. No one's taking that away from him. He has understanding that he belongs to Christ, that he's not part of this kingdom. He's in a different kingdom, serving a different king. Amen? He belongs to Christ. He has power. He has power. He's carrying power within him. He has the Holy Spirit, the very presence, the very Spirit of God is within him. He's carrying power. He understands he's in a covenantal relationship with God. He doesn't need to own everything. He has access to everything. That's what covenant is. It's access. I don't need to go around. I don't need to own everything. That's just going to burden me. But I need to know who does. Amen. And I need to know that I have access to him. Amen. Very different. Meaning he's a steward of God. He's a steward of God's kingdom, giving him full access to the Holy Spirit. He is provided for as a king's kid. He had authority. Why? Because he was submitted under the lordship of Christ. And he knew that he could walk in that authority. It's incredible. Amen. Adam in the garden submitted to Satan, and he gave his authority away, which is the very reason Jesus came back. So Peter is a walking, talking headquarters of the kingdom of God on earth, otherwise known as a Christian, a mini Christ. Know any Christians? No. They say that Christian initially, I don't know, but was could have been used as like a bit of a slang word, like in Ephesus when it was first mentioned, like almost a bit of a, you know, oh, they're trying to be like Jesus or they're followers of Christ, and it was a bit of a, you know, it wasn't an uplifting thing, it was more of a, oh, they're Christians. I don't know. Quite funny, really. However, and I know, before you tell me, I know, Peter walked with Christ physically for 3 years, and I haven't, and you haven't in that sense. Jesus isn't here in physical form, and we haven't walked with him in physical form like the disciples did. So in one way, to actually compare our walk with Peter's walk is totally unfair, and that's not really my point. I think what the point is that it gives us a glimpse, a window into what is possible and what happened, and the very nature of God, that we can be inspired and encouraged and uplifted. That's the purpose. I think the closest thing we've seen, man, is it really 5 to 12? That's ridiculous. The closest thing we've seen to the Garden of Eden is surely this: walking with God daily, physically, for 3 years. Can you imagine that? Like, incredible. You know, just having your needs met, being able to share, pour out your heart to Jesus, and not just hearing what he says, but watching how he says it, watching how he moves, how he acts, how he interacts. Can you imagine that environment? Incredible. Apprenticing Jesus. Jesus was limited, though, because he was fully man. He was fully God, but he was fully man. And he humbled himself, as we know, to live a sinless life as a man, to die fully man yet fully God, to redeem us, his kids, who rebelled against him. And he makes an outrageous statement in John 16. He says, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper or the comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, if you're Peter and you've just been hanging out with him for 3 years, it's not what you want to hear. But we understand, don't we? And he talks about the greater works. I won't go into it just because of time, but surely the greater works, or part of the greater works, has to be that the Spirit of God now resides in all men. Amen. And we can all have access. And that is a greater work. So my question is, what do you have? Jesus questions in Luke's gospel, "Will I find faith in the earth? Will I find it?" And we know it's no secret the world is not becoming better. It's becoming worse in terms of morality. Darker, more confused, more lost, more depraved. This is biblical. It's to be expected. It's not taken us by surprise. However, it's not enjoyable to watch. And, you know, having knowledge of God is not enough, is it? Faith acts. Faith responds. These three will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Of course, love is the greatest because God is love. And we know that we're redeemed, and we know that we serve a good God, and we know that we're a new creation, or at least we hope we do. We've been made righteous. We're temples of the living God. We're citizens in the kingdom of heaven, chosen, adopted, heirs to the throne, royal, loved beyond measure. We know this, right? Okay. So why don't we just talk about environment just for a couple minutes? We live in an environment, a worldly environment, that is not run by the headquarters of the kingdom of God. It's run by the demonic. The world, so to speak. There are two cosmos, if you want, on the world. There's two kingdoms, even though Satan's not a king, but you know what I'm saying. There's the dominion of darkness, and there's the dominion of light. The earth is run by the dominion of darkness. Until judgment day, until Christ comes and starts his millennial kingdom. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen soon. So we cannot look to the structures and the way that society is put together and expect that environment to be a good one for us to thrive in. Therefore, we have to steward an environment to enable and to allow the kingdom of God and the promises of God to really thrive and to work in us, don't we? Like Paul, like the disciples, Jesus set this incredible environment for those 12 disciples. I know one of them chose to not submit to Christ, but the other 11, they did okay. And, you know, to function in God's kingdom, it says that we have to have faith like a child. And I thought about this, you know, I have a 2-year-old, and I, as his parent, and Gina, as his mum, we're in charge of his environment right now. We're in charge making sure he feels safe and loved and belonging and belonged, that he belongs. We're in charge of that. But as he grows and as he develops, he has to take charge of that. And I feel like one of the things that God has been laying on my heart is that as his children, as his people, we have to be taking more charge of our own environment. We are the temple of God. Amen. And we have the power of God within us. We have access. But are we stewarding an environment that enables us to walk in it? Are we taking it for granted, or are we stewarding it? You are responsible for your walk with God. What are you doing about it? Is my question to me and to you. You're at church, and this is good. Very good. Well done, everyone. But you're also a temple. We're also created for worship. And I just had a couple of things. Are you in the Word? Do you have a mentor? Are you growing? Are you developing? Are you walking in faith? Do you know what you're carrying? And do you know why you're carrying it? And is there evidence of your faith? Everyone all right for 5 more minutes? Okay, so the world teaches us, you need to add this to your life, this training, this method, this product, this app, whatever. Sell, sell, sell. Add, add, add. You know, that's it. We're addicts by nature, addicted to entertainment, to information, addicted to comfort. It's the modern way. Yet I would argue the kingdom isn't about addiction, it's about access. And Jesus is our blueprint. And where Jesus went, he brought access, didn't he? Access to breakthrough, access to peace, access to life, access to whatever was needed, access to transformation, to joy, to purpose, to love. Amen. Complete access. The kingdom works in multiplication. It doesn't work in addition. It's not about going around and striving to add all these things. Now, I'm not saying it's not good to train, and that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, it's not about trying to train to become the best version of yourself, constantly training, constantly staying in this cog of training. I mean, there is really good value to training. What I'm saying is, it's actually about knowing who Christ is. Amen. And who you are, and being obedient to his word. He will train you. That's the goodness and the nature of the king. Sow your seed, reap a harvest. It's not about what I can do or add to my life. It's about who Jesus is and what he's already done. And I know we know this, but we took communion this morning by his stripes. I struggle with this. I do, I got to be honest, because I know up here that Jesus is not being whipped right now. You know, he's not on a cross. He has paid the price. He's already paid it. Finished work. It's done. He's not redoing it. He's finished it. And by his stripes, by what he has completed, I now have access to what he has achieved for me. Amen? I know we know this. Finished work. Grace. And I don't think we come anywhere really near to fully comprehending what he's done for us. But we live, don't we, with a burning desire to know more. And I think that's the only way we can live. And there's no condemnation. That just isn't. It just doesn't work in Christ's kingdom. There is no condemnation in Christ. It's only grace. Right, so faith is how we access this grace. And I just, let's build on faith this year as a church, can we? Can we build? Can we build testimony? Can we build evidence? Can we build character? Can we build hope? Can we build together? Can we walk out this faith together? Amen. Amen. 2024, I believe, God said to me, is a year of purpose. God wants to wake us up intentionally to seek out purpose. Why am I here? I don't know why I'm doing this robotically. But purpose. Why am I here? What am I carrying? Where am I going? What am I doing? You know? And Peter was just going about his normal day. I don't know how many beggars I have passed. And not extended my hand, not extended the hand of faith to them. I don't know. But what I do know is that the more aware I am of who I am and what I carry, the more chance I have of giving that away. Okay, you can have a beautiful car. It can be well looked after, clean inside out. It can be filled with the right fuel. It can be ready to go. This is a great picture for a Christian. You know, car won't go if you don't put fuel in the car. If you're not reading the word, which I agree with, I've preached it. It's good. It's a good message. However, you can put the clutch down and you can rev that engine. Vroom, vroom, vroom. It can sound beautiful if you've got a nice car. It can be really pleasing sound, you know? Boma, you still in a Lexus? I don't know, but sounds nice. It can sound powerful. And I just had a... No, I'm going to leave that. That's just silly. Anyway, the car doesn't move if you don't put it into first gear. Doesn't matter how clean it is. Doesn't matter how good it looks. Doesn't matter how fantastic it sounds. Doesn't matter how much fuel you've got in it. You don't put it into gear, it's not moving. And I think... I believe what God is saying is you don't need more fuel. You don't need more teaching. You need to get into gear. You need to action what God has said to you. First gear is the most powerful gear because it moves the car from zero to about 10 or 20 if you want it to go. And we need to get into action. What are we doing with what we've got? And if you don't know what you've got, what are you doing about that? What are you doing about it, church? We're not going to be on this planet forever like this. We all have a shelf life unless Jesus returns. What are you doing? What am I doing? That's my question. Who here is baptized in the Holy Spirit? Quick, I'm going to end very soon. That's fantastic. Amazing. And you know what? Just seeing everyone respond and seeing Holy Spirit flow and seeing... just around Amanda, it's encouraging, isn't it? Amen. Isn't it encouraging? It is encouraging. Speaking in tongues, prophecy, probably the two most common gifts we have. And, you know, I can prophesy and I can speak in tongues and I can sound powerful and I can sound impressive and I can sound good. And sometimes I wonder if every one of us is baptized and every one of us is walking around and every one of us has access to the gifts of God, why don't we see more of the power of God? Why? Why don't we see more of the power? It's a good question to ask. Gifts are not a gimmick. They're not just, you know, something that we just have a bit of fun with, even though they can be fun. They're not separate from the Holy Spirit. They are the Holy Spirit. He is God. And it is his gift. It's his hand. And I think sometimes we can somehow, you know, separate the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongue or the gift of whatever. But actually what's going on is God himself is working in you and working through you. Amen. That's what's going on right there. Yeah. And we have to, yeah, understand that. That's pretty cool. My point, what I have, I give. Holy Spirit helps us. He changes us. He convicts us. He empowers us. He teaches us. He wants to instruct you in the way you should go. He wants to give us courage to get into first gear. Or if you're in first gear, second gear. Whatever, however you want to play that out. You know, when I learned to drive, I was terrified of cars coming at me. I thought, this car is going to pass me about 2 foot away, and I don't like that. I don't know why, I was terrified of it. And I remember I would literally drive down a road. This sounds really pathetic. I drive down some residential street where there was no cars, and then the instructor would reverse back down where I'd just driven, and I'd do it again. So embarrassing. But I was just terrified. I was really afraid. And I needed a bit of courage to learn how to drive. I needed instruction. I needed someone to show me how to do this, to create an environment for me to take steps. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is called the helper and the comforter, because you will need help and you will need comfort outside of your comfort zone. You don't need help and you don't need comfort inside your comfort zone. You don't. You need it outside. I need it outside. And this is what God is sharing with me, so I thought I'd pick on you. Following Jesus requires you to take heart, to take courage, and to get out of your comfort zone. It's a requirement. And I believe, church, that this year we're going to see more than we've ever seen, experience more than we've ever experienced. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
And we only need faith as small as a mustard seed. Why? Because it's faith in Christ, and he's already done it. Okay, I'm gonna be quiet, because it's 10 past 12. I'm going to ask the band to come up, if they're here. I believe you've got a song, so you crack on and play that whenever you're ready. Please, John. Thank you. But I am going to ask for a response, if you want to respond. There's no pressure to respond. But in just preparing for this last night, some of us here, I believe we need to respond to Christ today. We need to change the way we think about ourselves, maybe change the way we think about how we're called. And I just want to encourage, if you've got breath in your lungs, you've got purpose in God. It's that simple. If you're alive, sat in this room, God has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. You are a walking headquarters of the kingdom of God on this planet. And I was talking to Mum last night, and I was reminded, Danny Silk from Bethel, years ago, I heard one of his teachings, and he said, the dogs of doom guard the doors of destiny. And there's something about stepping in or stepping out into something that you believe God is asking you to do, where sometimes it can feel like the gates of hell themselves come against you. And I don't know. And I just want to encourage you that actually that's pretty normal. You know, there's something about fear trying to rob you of your destiny, and about actually saying, you know what, even if I am a little bit afraid and even if I don't have everything worked out, I'm still walking in the way I believe God's calling me to walk, and I'm still going to do what I believe God is calling me to do. And I just feel this, we need to be intentional and proactive in taking responsibility for what God is saying to us. Can we do that?
Yeah.
All right, so the band are going to play. If you want prayer, if you just want to respond, if you just want to take a moment, I encourage you to come up. We'll pray for you. John's going to play and sing, and we're just gonna hang here for 5-10 minutes. But I believe God wants to break off fear.
Amen.
There's I heard wrong thinking. Some of us are in the tracks of just wrong thinking, and we need to make a new track. I heard breaking off procrastination.
Amen.
A friend of mine in Sweden said, you know what the most dangerous nation is? Procrastination. That's funny. There's some of us are functioning in an environment of a lack of belief. Our belief system is not working for us. And we need to change it. We need to do something about it. And God wants to restore language. Some of the language that we use is not, it's not healthy. I think it was Brian Britton said that, you know, if the guy in your head was your friend, he wouldn't be very nice. So God wants to do some stuff and shift some things this morning. I believe that. So there's an invitation, as there always is, to respond, to come. We're just going to lay hands. We're going to pray. John, you crack on. Thank you, my friend. Is that all right?
Yeah? I've got something I want to say.
You say it.
I kind of want to say.
Oh, you better.
I just want to say this. I hope this is okay.
Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God.
Amen. All right. All right. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you give us faith, that you have given us access. And I thank you, Lord, that today is a new day, that you've given us grace for today, that you've empowered us and equipped us for today. So, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. If you want prayer, come on up and we would love to pray and stand with you. Amen.